This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another lovely day here in Hawaii. Today, as I told you last week, we're having a mayoral candidate, Previdoras, Mr. Panos Previdoras. And good morning, Panos. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. Glad to be here.
Good. I'm going to have a little tongue twister with the name, but it's easy to pronounce. But so folks out there, bear with me. But I'd also like to say, we welcome your calls. Panos is here to answer any calls or your questions. So feel free to give us a call at 524-1080 here at KWAI. Panos, first of all, I've had a number of questions when I mentioned that I would try and get you on.
Right.
I had a number of people, mainly seniors.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be more concerned, not more concerned, but gravely concerned, mm-hmm. I should say, about the tax system and what is happening to them, those that are on fixed income and that great increase that occurred.
Right.
So I do want to talk about rail, but there are some greater issues mm-hmm. facing the community out there, and they just seem to not be getting the attention. Our local papers are telling us mm-hmm. rail is rail, and we're being railroaded, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
So. If you could, in answering to some of the taxpayers out there, mm-hmm. all of the taxpayers, and especially the senior citizens who are on fixed income
mm-hmm.
and who've retired thinking that they had everything calculated,
right?
Where there's some are threatened with the loss of the houses and the
right.
mortgage, and then they
right.
still got to pay taxes. So if you would, we'll put the cart before the horse, so to speak.
Right.
We'll talk about rail, but give us some of the basic ideas you have. How would you address that?
Well, one of the big problems is that rail is a tax black hole. So before we go to the rail, we have realized that Hawaii has among the highest taxes in the nation. Now, to add insult to injury, 4 years ago, the legislature passed a bill and increased for the largest increase in the general excise tax, the largest increase in taxes in Hawaii ever. Simultaneously, Mayor Hanneman increased the sewer fees by nearly 40%. And before him, there was another increase of those, and also there was an increase in the motor vehicle registration taxes. So we have gotten into a habit of increasing taxes, and we haven't seen anything yet. The problem is that, to refresh the memory of your listeners, is that 3 years ago, Hanneman went to the legislature for the rail. He says, you know, we need something big, even if it's not rail. We need to spend $2.7 billion. And in order to be able to afford that, we need a 1-point increase in the general excise tax from 4% to 5%. Okay? But the legislature said that was too much. Okay? So the legislature added a 0.5 to the general excise tax. So the general excise tax now is 4.5%. However, if you look at the Hanneman administration cost of the rail for the full thing, the 34 miles is $6.4 billion, over twice the original estimate. That's why we're saying not only we're in a tax crisis as we speak now, but property taxes have to increase by at least 40% to cover the shortfall. And then there's going to be another shortfall because by their own numbers, the annual maintenance of the thing is $150 million, of which less than $50 million will be covered by the fare box and other advertising income you might get from it. So that's why I said that rail is such a dangerous thing, and in piggybacks on the taxes, because it's a tax black hole. And before I threw my hat into the race, I had a phone call that I wasn't in the office. I was a professor at the time. And somebody, an older lady, called me from Hawaii Kai and left me a very long message. And she was very agitated. And she said, how dare they that I need to pay now for my grandchildren? My grandchildren, she said, I gave them principles, I gave them education and all, they can fend for themselves. Why do I have to pay for a rail system for my grandchildren? I paid enough already throughout my life. I'm 77 years old, I'm tired of paying more and more and more. And this is not an excuse. People cannot afford this system, therefore we shouldn't build it. We don't need it, we cannot afford it, and definitely we cannot maintain it. It's a foreign technology.
Now, so that people out there, and I know there's a lot of talk, are we talking about this first portion of the rail is total dollar amount, just the first segment?
Mm-hmm.
Is the total amount?
Yeah, this is the sugar coating of the process. You see, they don't talk about the whole system because we're going for the full enchilada. The plan is to get rail from Kapolei to Waikiki and the UH. That's 34 miles. By their number, 6.4 billion if they come to be, you know, accurate. Usually rail projects cost, they have huge cost overruns. But they don't tell you that. They tell you what the FTA suggests, that you begin with what is called the MOS, the minimum operating segment. So they chose a minimum operating segment basically from Waipahu to Ala Moana, and that's 20 miles, and that's why they tell you that that one is about $4 billion. Essentially, they discount the project by over 30% to get you going with something smaller, and then they say, oh, but remember, we said that we're going to go all the way to Waikiki and the UH, so we need another $3 billion of your taxes to continue that. And one of the sad things, and I'm quite disappointed that some of the unions choose to not see the truth, and they go out with advertising and they say that a lot of federal money will come to us and we're going to create jobs. Okay, now let's take these two one at a time. Number one, a lot of federal money. Yes, the mayor is claiming that the feds will give us $900 million. Okay, now the highest amount ever given by the feds to any city is $750 million to New York. So already we have an obfuscation of the amount. But that's okay. Let's say that we will get $900 million. But these monies will never come to Hawaii. Never. Never. Why? Because look at their budget. When you build rail, a big part of the technology is the rails, steel rails, we don't have any, the rail cars, the maintenance yards, the computer that runs the thing and the controls. All of that costs $1.2 billion. Now, if you look at the commercials, these guys seem to be in love with the Canadian system, Bombardier, made out of Canada. Therefore, the $900 million will immediately go to Canada to buy us the train to come here. None of the federal money will come here. More, there is a shortfall of $300 million that from local taxes we have to pay and send them to Canada to buy this train. Our listeners have to understand that the United States does not have urban transit technology. All the trains that they operate in the nation are foreign. They're made by good manufacturers such as Siemens, Mitsubishi, Hyundai, Bombardier, whatever. We don't have a single U.S. manufacturer. So it's a completely foreign system. And all this money, in a time that both the U.S. and Hawaii are in economic recession, we're going to be sending $1 billion to Germany, Japan, Korea, or Canada. Mm-hmm. I think that's significant.
Now, you've said a lot, and I've really been appreciative of what you have presented publicly. Unfortunately, the local papers and some of the other media types mm-hmm. tend to want to feed us only that what would clearly sell the Hahnemann package, and I just simply I'm shamed by that, and I have great respect for the media, but in this instance, they've basically treating us like the mushroom. They give us a little light and they tell us, but they seem to be advocating for Hahnemann, who has initiated something, an action that has not been approved, and as I call it, voodoo management.
Right.
But before we go any further, what I'd like to do now, you've said a lot, and it's good information. Let the people know what is your background. I would have done that earlier, but
that's
I wanted
fine.
Them to get a feeling of the knowledge that we have missed, and you've not had the occasion to give
that's
it out. So we're going to take this opportunity.
Okay.
But let the public or the listeners out there know, where are you drawing this information, and what is your professional background?
Okay. Basically, I had my undergraduate education as a civil engineer in Aristotle University in Athens, in Greece. And that's a fairly long degree. After that, I went to, as opposed to the typical U.S. degree, which is 4 years, then I went to Chicago, Northwestern University, and I studied and I did a master's and a PhD, doctorate degree in traffic and transportation engineering. I finished that in 4.5 years. At the time, Northwestern University was one of the top three programs in transportation engineering, and it still is a top 10 university. And then I came to Hawaii in 1990, where I've been here for 18 years, teaching and doing a lot of research on traffic and transportation of local significance and national and international significance. I have written over 100 technical papers and publications, and I am a subcommittee chair for the National Academy of Engineering, the Transportation Research Board. So as far as my transportation credentials go, I probably, I may sound a little immodest, but I don't think there is my equal in this state. So most of the time, you know, I try to keep it low-key. I mean, except for the rail issue, I'm trying to work with the state government and the city government to solve the problems, you know, essentially without being on the newspapers or anything. I'm not seeking media attention. But this rail thing is so bad for this community that I just simply have to get my message as much as possible out. And I think as a professor, I did pretty good because, you know, the UH has a lot of fantastic professors out there, but you don't get to hear their names because they do highly technical stuff. But for us, this is a huge community problem, so I had to step out and, you know, go out in the bright sun and tell my piece, because I think not only the process is suspect, but the project is bad. This project is bad. It doesn't belong to this land. It's gonna scare it. It's gonna marry it, and it's not gonna work for it. I mean, it is not. By their own numbers, 6% of the people will use that thing. Why pay $6 billion to serve 6% of the population? I mean, it's very nice, of course, to give people alternatives: bikeways, ferries, boats, and all. As long as they have a reasonable cost and they are reasonably cost effective. A $6 billion boondoggle is nowhere near cost-effective.
What things could you promise the listeners out there and the taxpayers right now to avoid this type of management that we've seen? To get to this point, to go out and spend money, and it becomes a central focal point that, well, we've already spent money, and we now have our hands like barnacles in the ocean, just filtering, hoping the federal government current would flow this way and we'll grab some of that money. That's just not, that's illogical. What will you do as mayor to prevent that and ensure the public that you have sound management opposed to this voodoo management?
Exactly. I'm not a politician, so I'm not going to do political management. I'm going to do cost-effective management. This is what I teach. Actually, one of my graduate classes is in evaluation and cost effectiveness. You look at multiple alternatives, you put them down on paper with their technical and non-technical aspects, and you weigh the pros and cons, and then you find out which one of those is the best for the community. And you also, at the same time, of course, you have a significant consultation from the community in order to gauge what would be the cultural and social implications in addition to the performance. Because performance means, is it going to reduce congestion and how much is it going to cost. This is the cost effectiveness thing. However, it has to have other aspects, such as, you know, does it look pretty? Does it go through sensitive areas? How many people is it going to affect? Are you going to have any home relocations, business relocations, and all? So all these things need to be looked at very carefully, evaluated, and then you decide which action to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm astounded how we have arrived at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would want the listeners to realize, or if you could drive home the point, that there will be some entities that will be impacted greater than others.
Mm-hmm.
People will lose their land to condemnation.
Yes.
Will they get fair assessment? Can they fight the government as an individual,
mm-hmm.
or fight this process?
Mm-hmm.
What we found, and what really troubles me in this entire process that the Hanneman has advanced,
mm-hmm.
is that if you look at the Department of Planning and Permitting,
mm-hmm.
it had a skeleton crew, per se, and the ones that were capable of doing it, he begged, borrowed, and stole those individuals and
mm-hmm.
put together this special team
mm-hmm.
of yes men. You know, and so what would you do to rectify that or to clean that up as mayor and handling the and then clearly stating to the public who stands to be impacted? Does the senior stand to be impacted on fixed incomes with this?
The two groups that they will be mostly impacted is people on fixed incomes, low income people, because the general excise tax is a regressive tax, and people that they're directly abutting the rail line because of the noise effects and the condemnation and eminent domain. Eminent domain means once I decide to go through that, that property is now mine and it's not yours. I'll give you some form of fair market, compensation, but you are out of there, even if it was your family home for, 200 or 2,000 years. It doesn't matter. This is part of the... Sometimes it's necessary in order to do a project with a big social benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I maybe even myself as a mayor, I would go and apply eminent domain if the project had a huge social benefit. When you build a project to serve 6% of the population, the social benefit is simply is not there. Therefore, condemnation should be absolutely minimal at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, in this process, and if you were to become mayor, give us some of the basic things you would do in addressing the traffic, and then what would be your solution to this instead of rail?
Mm-hmm.
Give us an idea of
sure.
what you would propose
sure,
or what
course.
You would try to build.
Right. In the beginning, the mayor tried to call us that we're simply naysayers, that say, it's a big project, just say no. From the beginning, actually, we had a much better alternative. The number one thing I'm going to do if elected mayor is to stop the rail. We have to do that. In my future alternatives analysis, I will put in one of the alternatives light rail. Light rail means it's a rail that goes on the surface, if needed. What the mayor is calling locally, it is actually the word for it is a lie. He's calling it light rail. But a fully elevated rail is called rapid transit or heavy rail. So nothing that they submit in federal documentation and all ever calls it light rail. Light rail is a spin that you see, local spin, in commercials. Okay, so the mayor is building heavy rail. I'm totally opposed to heavy rail, and I'm going to stop it. There may be a possibility for light rail. The American Planning Association, the local chapter, the architects say that we should consider light rail. As a mayor, I would consider it. However, in a study that I did with my students at the UH, it took us 10 months. We did the largest micro-simulation study ever done for the state. We looked at Hanneman's Rail, hot lanes, and bus rapid transit, a tunnel from Ever Beach to Keh Interchange down to Nimitz, and these were the three major alternatives to analyze, along with what we called urban underpasses. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Now, from all those alternatives, the number one objective was to reduce congestion, okay? So, congestion by rail was reduced by 5%, okay? Even if 6.25% of the people would use the rail, congestion will improve by 5%. That's very little. Hot lanes, congestion improves by nearly 40%. Now, what is hot lens? Hot lens, the way we designed it, it's a reversible expressway similar to the one they built in Tampa County. It's a county road in Tampa, so we can build a similar road. It's a three-lane road that goes that would go from the H1, H2 merge all the way down to Ivile. And then you connect to Nimitz Highway with a flyover for buses only to Hotel Street right here in our neighborhood, Chinatown. So by using these hot lanes, a bus can go from Waikele to the heart of town in 15 minutes in the middle of the rush hour. Everybody else is taking 45 minutes to do this trip. The bus on the hot lanes will take 15 minutes to go from Waikele to downtown. Why? Because the emphasis of this facility is an express transitway. That's the first two letters. High occupancy tollway. High occupancy. All your buses, express buses, regular buses, and van pools and large carpools, they go on that facility, top priority and free. However, when you have a two-lane or three-lane expressway, you have a capacity for 5,000 vehicles. But if you add the van pools and the buses on it in an hour, you're not going to have more than 500. Why have the rest of the facility underutilized? You allow other people to come in, but for a toll. Why do you toll? Because you want some people to come in, but not too many. Because if it's too many, it's going to get congested again, so your bus cannot go to downtown in 15 minutes. Now, once the bus arrives on Hotel Street, people can transfer to other buses, or there would be express bus, for example, that goes through Hotel Street and then use the King Beretania one-way streets we have to get to the UH in another 15 minutes. So the beauty of this thing is that from Capolei to the UH in 45 minutes by bus. If you were to do the same one by the rail that the Hahnemann administration is proposing, is 75 minutes. Why? Because people say that, well, rail is fast, right? And, you know, it never stops and all. Are you kidding me? From Capolei to the UH, the train is going to stop 30 times. And the motorman in front, or motorwoman, the person who drives the rail, they don't know if there is a handicapped person trying to get in and out of the station. So even if a station is very little used, the transit stop has to be at least 20 seconds to have open doors so safely, you know, handicapped people can get in and out. Therefore, it takes a very long time during those stops, and then it accelerates, decelerates, up to the next stop and the next. It's like a 30-story building. You ride the elevator, you try to go to the roof, and you have to stop on each and every floor. That's what a rail system is. So, although a rail system has the capacity of going 55 miles an hour, the average speed for it, by federal standards, is 23 to 25 miles per hour. That's lower than the average speed on the H1 freeway between the H1, H2, and downtown right now.
Okay, again, this is the Carol Cox Show. I have my guest, Panos Prevedoris, a mayoral candidate. We're going to take a break, but we welcome your calls at 524-1080, and we'll be right back.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!
Like a million silver teardrops in the sky. And down the road from Napopo, the ancient kings still dwell. I can see them riding high on an ocean swell. Rise up and follow me, sons of Hawaii. Rise up and follow me, don't let me down. Taro fields are gone now from the southern corner hills, and the eyes of all the old ones hold a tear. Shadows of their memories, they recall a brighter day. But the sovereign land they loved has slipped away. Rise up and follow me, sons of Hawaii. Rise up and follow me, don't let me
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. My guest today is mayoral candidate Panas Prevedoris. And again, if you want to call in, he's open to questions, 524-1080. What we are discussing is some of the various issues that would involve or what he as mayor would do if elected, and giving us an insight, more of a complete thought from his point. About the rail and other issues. And while we have him here, what we're going to do is talk about the solid waste management.
Mm-hmm. Big problem here.
Big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, to be honest with you, I'm leery of the rail, not because I know so much about the rail, but I've been close to this issue in solid waste management. Mm-hmm. It's important. And the manner in which this administration has handled it
mm-hmm.
causes me great concern.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing the backdoor dealings, the money, mm-hmm. The friendship, and the unwillingness to even obey the law, arguing with the EPA.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So to me, when the mayor stands and say, this is a great deal, this rail, and we're going to be concerned with environmental concerns and all of those things, and yet I have an example where I've been working with 3 to 4 or 5 years of this, and he's not come clean with
yeah.
this. So let the listeners out there know, what would your handling or approach
yeah.
be towards solid waste management?
Carol, I couldn't agree more with you. What has happened with this boondoggle is that it has come to the front burner and critical problems of our community, such as you identified, solid waste and sewage treatment have been put on the back burner. Solid waste, we have a huge issue. With Waimanalo Gulch, we've been essentially abusing the Waianae community for so long. We really need to close that thing. We need to find alternative ways. This island cannot support another landfill, so the solution of moving the trash to Kailua is not possible. We need to find ways to essentially minimize our trash. How can we do that? There are three basic principles before you go to technology. One is reduce. We have to find ways to reduce the amount of trash we produce. The other is reuse, and we have seen small examples by, you know, supermarkets going into reusable bags instead of the plastic bags. The third one is recycle. Recycle is a good thing because actually you can make money out of it if you do it smartly. And, you know, the Hahnemann administration has been so reactive. You have to be proactive about these things. There has to be lawsuits and this and that. They had to be in order for him to expand the recycle efforts. We need to develop local industry to actually convert some of our recyclables to sellable commodities. Essentially, what do? We bundle them and we send them to the mainland or China. That is not really adding a lot of worth to the recycling. Then some of the stuff cannot really be recycled or reused anymore, so it has to be dumped, right? So what do with that? We have the H power plant, which is a plant which is burning them. That was very much 70s and 80s. It's okay, but you put in household trash, but you get 20% fly ash out of it. So a lot of it stays with us, and you know, and in the process there may be some toxins or dioxins created and all. There may be some environmental impacts, but there are more state-of-the-art technologies that actually this county is not even considering, while other counties such as Hawaii County and Maui County are considering. Two of those are plasma arc, and the other one is anaerobic composting. I've seen a couple of factories of anaerobic composting in Germany. They're factories, they look like factories, but they're actually abutting communities because the process is essentially so smell-free and what have you. So you actually have the trash processing plant right next to your village or the community. So we could have a small plant next to Kailua, another one next to Kaneohe, another one in Hawaii Kai. So we don't have to have these huge trash movements going all over and filling up landfills. And what is the beautiful thing of this is that you have a lot of reusable outcomes. Only 2% of the actual trash winds up being trash. The rest of it becomes building materials. It becomes plastic pellets that you can recycle and build other stuff. Steel and aluminum pellets. Compost that you can actually sell and fertilize and all, and stuff of this nature. So, you know, that's the solid waste. The liquid waste now, the sewer. This county is in crisis. And, of course, Hahnemann, this is the only area where I actually give him a B+, although he is reactive to the fact that we had a major disaster in Waikiki. That really sensitized him, so he allocated 250 million per year to actually upgrade some of our sewer lines that are falling apart. He claims that this was the problem of the Harris administration. Mayor Harris stays at the helm for 8 years. However, 5 of the 8 years, Hahnemann was the chair of the city council, so he was controlling the purse. So who was responsible for the sewers not getting done? Anyhow, So now they're essentially belatedly are getting done, and we have a huge catch-up game. But that's the one facet. The second facet is that we are under a $1 billion lawsuit from the EPA because Honolulu County is one in the 1% of cities in the United States that they don't have secondary sewage treatment. And Judge Ezra, and he was clearly quoted in the Star Bulletin saying, it is much higher a priority for this county to get a grip of its sewers and its treatment than to do light rail. Although he said he doesn't really oppose light rail, but sewers is number one. And they are not really getting done, particularly the secondary treatment.
Now, again, here's a point that really sticks in my craw.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recent commercial the mayor is running, Hanneman is running,
mm-hmm.
and it tells us, it's a front page coverage of a news article of the newspaper saying that so many millions of gallons spilled.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that was a choice
mm-hmm. exactly.
to dump it into the Olivine. His
mm-hmm.
administration elected. It was not a spill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shameful part of this administration, in that it's almost like they will take a pig and put lipstick on it and then turn around and say, isn't it cute? Well, no, we don't care. It's still a pig.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, that commercial just really stimulates me to really get out and ask questions and try
right.
and get the public. And that's why I was excited of having you. We need someone that's going to be up front. When you make a failure or a mistake, admit it. Don't blame it.
Accountability. It's important.
We as taxpayers, and I would come to you too and hammer on your desk and
mm-hmm.
door, if you were to get elected and repeat the same process,
right.
well, you know, here's your pig with the lipstick.
That's right.
Enough of that already. And
right.
so, you know, this is just a shameful process. It was never, ever a spill. The same method that they used to divert it with the black
mm-hmm.
pipe
mm-hmm.
along the Olivine, they could have chose that at that time. It
mm-hmm.
only took them a few days after the
right.
public
right.
found that people were getting sick and
yeah.
the beaches were closed and on and on
mm-hmm.
and on.
Mm-hmm.
So it is his administration, Eric Takamura, and his administration
mm-hmm.
who elected as a solution
right.
that
to
process.
Dump it.
To
mm-hmm.
dump it. It was
mm-hmm.
never a spill, folks.
Right.
So anyway, island-wide recycling.
Mm-hmm.
Would you support legislation? And I mean, this is probably not fair to you, but
mm-hmm.
For my concern, you have the big box stores.
Right.
If I go in and buy a chip for my camera, a flash card chip,
right.
which is 3, maybe 2 inches.
Right.
And but I get a...
10 by 20
inch. Plastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, a lot of this plastic can't be reused.
Reused, that's right.
So would you come along and support legislation or come up with something to...
Most definitely.
Address that kind of stuff?
Yes, yes. And actually, I was embarrassed the other day. My stepdaughter had her birthday, and we had a party, so we got a lot of gifts. I don't know, 30, 40 gifts. But I'm so embarrassed to say that at the end of the day, we filled up that city box, the trash box. I mean, that's so huge.
Right.
And, you know, originally I come from Europe. We never create that. That box is enough for a whole neighborhood. And we, as a household of 3 people, we were able to fill it up in one day because, you know, it was Lesna's birthday. That was embarrassing. But that was all the packaging that we had to get rid of. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much useless material is there and how much we overconsume and we dump. We have to get more sensitized about this. And the number one key is educating the people of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people themselves will require the laws to change. I mean, I can always submit something.
Right.
But you have to have, you know, the critical mass behind you and the grassroots to really say, no, Mr. Costco and what have you. Fine stores and all, but we got to do something about
mm-hmm.
this packaging. I understand it's a security issue and all. Let's find a different way to do security. Do it like your expensive watches. You take a little piece of paper and they go bring it back from the store.
Exactly.
Why do we have to have that huge packaging, 10 by 20 plastic, that actually a lot of people probably have injured themselves trying to open it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a liability all around. So, you know, we can find creative and sensitive ways to solve problems.
I look at that and I'm saddened to think when you really pay close attention to it, and wow, we're spending this waste
mm-hmm.
and we as taxpayers are having to pay the haulers and all
mm-hmm.
of that and then get to the point of shipping out, and a large percentage of that is generated all because the big box stores want security. They want to reduce
thefts.
Thefts.
Losses. They want to cut down on their losses.
Cut down the losses.
And then it becomes a loss for Mother Earth, essentially. So it becomes a loss for the society. So we have to take a longer view of things. And that's actually where we used to be, you know. Engineers, even politicians, they would take the longer view. Now everybody's, you know, quarterly performance and, you know, trying to impress people with their political posturing and all. We have to go down to the basics and do the work of the people and, you know, take care of the infrastructure of the city. Mm-hmm. A good example, for example, and everybody can see it, is pavements. I mean, the Hahnemann administration is so embarrassing. I mean, the man is not knowing what he's talking about. He has it on the website. He's so happy that he fixed 18,000 potholes. These are 18,000 pieces of evidence that our pavements are beyond repair. They have been demolished.
Right.
You cannot fix potholes. You have to redo the pavements.
And then he's willing to... That's the funny part of this process, is that he has no shame. He'll come back and tell you, look what I did. And it's either steal on steal or nothing at all.
Nothing else, yeah.
When the process is, you have to go before the OEQC, for example, and file papers and give them... And that, at that time, hadn't been done.
Yeah.
So it's really ironic that he is touting himself as caring and looking out for the needs of the people, but we can see it in the examples.
It doesn't happen, yes.
But also, another thing, while talking about this administration... if you were to come in and be elected as mayor, how would you address worker ethics in city government? The ethics, and how would you, you know, that we lose a lot of money to bad behavior on the part of city workers. How would you address that?
It is possible. Some people have talked to me. You see, I've been somewhat sheltered for quite a few years at the UH, but some people, now that I have declared that I'm interested to be mayor, they're talking to me about fraud, abuse of power, you know, and as you said, you know, ethical violations. And I have seen it now in the rail process, where I have seen five engineers, fine engineers actually, the same that they do work in the mainland, they come here and they literally try to sell you a project instead of providing the best recommendation for the city to solve its problem. One way that you solve this is with audits. Audit the operation and find out where the leakages are or where the wrong processes are and all. I mean, you have to have the experts to identify what is going on at each department and then take proper corrective action. I mean, the city has 10,000 employees. It is not possible for a mayor to identify the 10 or 20 rotten apples, but if you audit through the process, you will see where the weaknesses are and try to address them.
And would you support increasing funding for the Ethics Commission?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
And auditing, you spoke of auditing. Mm-hmm. Would you support auditing the Sand Island Treatment Plant or our wastewater facilities?
Actually, I will put in my four-year term, I will put every operation of the city under an audit, essentially, plan, so all of them get to be audited at one point or another, because it helps themselves. I have seen this from my department. Every 6 years we're being reaccredited at the UH. Nobody is, you know, forever get the guarantee of producing civil engineers or engineering students. No. Every 6 years you have to prove to your national colleagues that the work you're doing is actually on par with the national average and you are worth it giving out civil engineering diplomas.
Because
the same thing with these guys.
Because product is education.
Education, exactly. So there is an education audit every 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing for, you know, all the departments of the city. Is the work getting done properly? Is it at the same level as other progressive cities in the nation? This is a learning curve for everybody. This is not for punishment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a call. Matthew, are you there? You have a question for Panos?
I've got a question for Mr. Panos. Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Cox. Now, you say that the mayor is saying that the city doesn't need the secondary treatment facility, and that's why they are going to sue with the EPA. Well, what's your position on this, Panos?
Thank you for your question. I am actually in agreement that we need to pursue secondary treatment, and we need to follow the lead of the city of San Diego that has similar situation as ours, and they try for quite a few years to get away with it by essentially dumping only primarily treated sewage 5 miles out in the ocean. But they realized themselves that, you know, you cannot be doing that and it's not a sustainable policy forever. So they sat down with the EPA and they came into an agreement to do it in a way that the city of San Diego can progressively afford. Unfortunately, the Hahnemann administration essentially tries to bully the EPA by going to the court to try to, again, follow the good old politics of Frank Fassi and all, get exemptions for these things. Well, time's up. This is the 21st century. You cannot really do things and, you know, be in the 1% of cities that they are not in compliance. Sooner or later, we'll have to come to compliance. We might as well be smart enough to do it in our own terms by negotiating with the EPA of how best this can be done without breaking the backs of our taxpayers. And that's what I think we should be doing.
All right. Well, that sounds very fair as a response. Two secondary questions.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the potholes and the state of conditions on our roads are due to inferior substrate used on the roads. So if this is true, you have more usable roadways, would we need to have island-wide construction projects that tear up the road and lay down, say, cement or substrate?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I believe the reason that our pavements are in such terrible condition is really deferred maintenance. Of course, our pavements were, most of them, built and designed, several of them, 20 or 30 years earlier. We never anticipated such heavy volume of traffic. Heavy vehicles have become bigger and heavier, so they destroy the pavements earlier. That's why it's so critical to actually do what is called rehabilitation. So essentially you reconstruct the pavement structure and you have a nice pavement for another 20, 30 years. But then you have to also piggyback that with what is called the pavement management system. So you have a way of continuously going and inspecting the pavement, and if it has cracks, you seal the cracks so water doesn't get into it. Therefore, a good pavement stays good for a long, long time. There are pavements in Europe on major freeways that they are over 40 or 50 years old and they're still handling it very well. We don't have any such pavements because we do shoddy work. And since you asked this, and I really like recycle and reuse, one thing that our local code prohibits is the use of old tires into the pavement. Tires from carts is one of the most difficult and most toxic ways that if you try to burn them and all, and to dispose them. So chopping them in small pieces and mixing them in the asphalt mix is the best way to actually make the pavement more durable, and it's 100% recycle of something that you cannot really reuse any other way.
Very, very well.
Okay. Well, Matt, we are winding down and getting short. I'm hoping to have Panos to come back and join us, as well as the other candidates I've invited. Ms. Kobayashi, Mr. Brewer, and an invite will go out to the mayor as well. I'm just excited and very happy that Panos would be the first, because I've listened to a lot of it, and it's consistent with what I've observed out there as a citizen and in my efforts. And Panos, do you have an email address, or how do the people contact you if they wanted to get involved or whatever?
Yeah, actually our website, and it's a good one, they can get a lot of information out of it, is one word, panosforprogress.com, panosforprogress.com. And it has our entire campaign information there. People can contribute, people can volunteer, but also, most importantly, what we stand for in all elements of infrastructure about the city, because it's not only about the rail. It's everything from traffic to sewers, to roads, to trash, to parks and recreation and maintenance of these facilities.
Right. Well, you know, backing up and digressing a bit, you talked about sewage and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spend a lot of money and we see commercials done by the administration on protecting the clean waters. Isn't that amazing that, on one hand, we're in a commercial with, I guess, some of the local actors or the stars, and the mayor's
right,
saying, oh, let's protect the water. And he's kicking and screaming, telling the EPA, do we realize that there's coral reefs and the degradation of the water quality impacts the tourism and the environment itself.
I mean, this is so disingenuous. Instead of taking care of our most precious asset, we try to find legal ways to, you know, get shy of our responsibility. So I fully agree with you. I mean, we really have to take care of the Aina, both the solid one and the water ocean that surrounds us.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything about culture? What about the children programs or community programs? What would you, real quickly, if you could?
Community programs, maybe we need to come back and talk about it, because community, children, the elderly, and the homeless are important issues, and maybe we'll take them on a different show to discuss about them.
All right. No. Okay.
We just missed the caller or something.
Yeah, missed the caller, but and that was Gary we were going to chat about, a subject we've been carrying on for many, many months regarding fisheries and all.
I see.
But anyway, Gary, if you're out there, we can talk now or we can talk next week. Feel free to just give me a call back. But I am really excited that hopefully that I can provide a formal platform so that everybody can speak, because I believe the community should be able to vote smart. If anybody can't look past the commercials, for example, 20 out of 21
cities,
20 out of 20 what cities?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, right. I mean, it's out of 20 out of over 100 cities, you know. So they don't have rail. So the minority of cities have rail. So what's the point?
Okay. Well, Panos, I appreciate you coming by. And
thanks for the invite.
Feel free to come back or call in. And if you hold on, Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, good morning. Long time no hear.
Right. I've been out fishing a bit.
Okay. Well, what's going on the waterfront?
Oh, it's actually here on land. First of all, I was just very glad to hear Panos, a very, very spoken fellow, and I'm having him on your show. But what I've got to ask is relating to a few weeks back. I went into Star Supermarket yesterday at Kamehameha Shopping Center to investigate their frozen opaka paka that they had advertised in their thing on the midweek. And there were these four really nice-looking one-pound, pound-and-a-half frozen solid Kali Kalis sitting there in the refrigerated section, labeled opaka paka. And I thought to myself, Carol said something about a lawsuit a few weeks ago, and I was just wondering, you know, why are these guys still doing that?
Well, here's an update. I just received from my attorneys a settlement with DAE. Don Quixote agrees on 6 points. They will stop selling opaka fish and representing it as opaka paka. They will no longer use that. Come Monday, I will have that in hand, and it will be a formal agreement. The president in Japan of DAE or Don Quixote has agreed with that and other points. Now, the others, we're still approaching them, and will be approaching them in the near future on that. So, but the customers should be aware out there that what you're being sold really isn't what is being the claim. So we will pick up that subject, Gary, and give me a call next week. Call in, and we'll pick this up next week, okay?
Okay, be glad to. Thanks, Carl.
Okay, folks, thank you for tuning in. And again, Panos Prevadoris, I appreciate you dropping in with us, and don't hesitate to call back or next week when the other candidates, and I hope they would call in if they have questions.
Thanks for the invite.
All righty. Aloha, this is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick up our podcast at carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning opakapaka, kalikali, onaga, ehu, jindai, sea bass, and lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the deep seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI Honolulu.